18 minutes past five. So a couple of days ago, I watched a really, really enjoyable and powerful documentary on Amazon Prime. It's just been added to their catalogue. I suppose that's the right word for it. It's called Blind Ambition, and it tells the story of four Zimbabwean men who all came to South Africa independently, worked in various jobs when they got here. My guest, who I'm about to introduce, started his life as a gardener, worked their way into the restaurant industry, and somehow found themselves involved in the world of wine. To fast forward the story, because there's plenty to it, in 2017, they represented Zimbabwe at the World Wine Tasting Championships, went back there again in 2018, and then they've all gone on and done different things, quite remarkable things, in fact, in the world of wine. Let's welcome to 702 Drive, Joseph Dafana, who was the captain of that Zimbabwean team and a key figure in the story, but is now also making his own wine. Joseph, welcome to 702 Drive. Good to have you with us.
Oh, fantastic. Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me.
So I understand that until the age of 29, you'd never really actually ever had any wine. Tell us what you thought the first time you drank it.
I didn't like it.
It's a good start.
I did not like it. Exactly. I mean, as you might have seen on the trailer or the movie, that my very first sip of wine, I did not like it at all, purely because of obvious reasons. That firstly, I was actually raised, or I grew up in a culture where wine did not exist at all. I was raised in a Christian background where wine was not even actually allowed. It was forbidden to be seen on the table.
Yes.
My mom until today doesn't drink at all, even after I convinced her by making my Melo, Mossy Melo Calista under her name. She still has the bottle, but she has never tasted that wine. So honestly speaking, I mean, now I have all these vocabularies of saying the wine was astringent, it was too tart, it was too acidic. But back then, I did not have any of these words actually to cross my mind.
So
yeah, I just didn't enjoy it, yeah.
So I'm going to jump around in time a little bit. Let's come to now. We'll go back on your story a little bit. But now you're in the rather unusual position because you became a sommelier at a very prestigious restaurant, La Colombe, and you would have been a person judging other people's wines in terms of the needs of the restaurant and your clientele. Now you're making something for other people to judge. Is that quite nerve-wracking?
Well, yes and no. Well, of course, the yes part is you don't know how the mass is actually going to receive your wine. You understand?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So that's actually the negative side of it. Now, the positive side is you're gonna have to make something which you enjoy yourself. I mean, if you do that, you won't go wrong. I mean, we have different palates in this world. And we also like different wines, I would say. So if you make wine according to the trend, or if you make wine according to as if it's in fashion,
yes,
you can actually lose the plot. Just make something which is palatable, something which you think you can drink yourself and possibly with your family and friends. Then you won't go wrong. So yeah, so it's a bit of both.
I want to go then somewhere into the middle again and talk a little bit about the wine tasting aspect of it, because that really is the body of the film Blind Ambition, which as I said, people, I really recommend you watch it. In that exercise, it seems to me, I mean, I'm fascinated by people who do this professionally, and I'm sure people say, oh, that sounds like fun. But my sense was that enjoyment was the furthest thing from your mind, that in fact you're engaging yourself almost, I don't know if scientific is the right word, but a quite formidable intellectual exercise as you try to understand what wines you're dealing with.
Yeah. Look, I mean, wine testing or blind testing is very, look, I mean, you will be using like all corners of your head, like or your brains, I would say, because
yes,
you're gonna have to use like literally each and every experience which you have, all parts of your brains, you know, and sense of like really all five senses does really work when you're actually testing wine blindly. So, firstly, you're gonna have to know that getting the wine right is very difficult for everyone under the sun, okay?
Yeah.
So you may get the wine right, actually the cultivar right, then you don't get the vintage right.
Right.
You may get the vintage right and you don't get the producer right. So stuff like that happens, and you mustn't panic. You know, we all make mistakes, and especially when you're in a competition like that. That's a really like a global competition.
Where right.
You feel like the world is stopped, you know.
Yes.
And it's very, those 2 hours is super heavy. Like, you feel like you want to cry. You feel like, you know, all those, like it throws emotions all over the,
yes.
all over the place,
yes.
you know. But again, look, I mean, you're going to have to be yourself. Don't overthink, and whatever you pick first is the answer. If you think it's Chardonnay,
yes.
go for it.
Yeah.
Don't change it.
I want to then come back to what you're doing now and Morsi Wines that you're looking to have an impact with. Your another member of the team, Tinashe Nyamudaka, is also making his own wine. His is called Kumusha, which I believe
correct.
The word means home. Do you yes. feel that between you guys, you're making some sort of bridgehead into Zimbabwe and a possible Zimbabwean wine industry? I mean, do you have ambitions in that regard, or do you just think more that you're going to make wine and be part of a global community?
Well, look, John, I mean, wine, I take wine as a universal language,
yes.
you know, and wine brings people together, whereas water separates people. That's why we are in Africa, and we have Europe on their own side in America, as well as Asia, you know. So,
right.
So yeah, look, I mean, there's no place like home, to be honest. I mean, as much as I would like to go back home and make Morsi wines or Tongai wines back home,
yes.
there's also many things to consider, like, do I have the clientele? Do I have the market? You know, and is the economy really conducive for me to do that? You can't just jump in a country and try to like really survive or try
yes,
to
yes.
do business. You can have to understand actually the other side of the economics and all that stuff. So Zim has some great terroirs, like the Eastern Highlands. We can actually have grapes there because they've got some fantastic valleys. Very good temperature, fantastic soils as well. But then again, on the other side of the economy, I mean,
yeah.
it's very difficult for one to really invest in that alone. You're going to have like massive investments
yes.
for you to reap the fruits. So I would want to do that back home, yes, but then it's going to have to be not now.
Yeah.
I'm happy here doing it right now. Yeah, I'm close to the vineyards. I know pretty much everyone who makes wine in South Africa. I can actually reach my clients easily. Even back home, they do really have my wines there in the wine shops and all that
yes.
stuff. So I also do food and wine pairing back home. I come from a sommelier background. But again, I mean, given a chance to try, I will. And I would take it. But then, yeah, it's really going to take a very, it's going to actually move on a very snail slow
pace. Yes. Speaking of snail slow, winemakers, I would think, have to be incredibly patient. Are you?
I had to learn patience when I got into this industry, to be honest.
Yes,
because
yes.
everything is done, like, really with lots of patience. And also, you're going to have to, you enjoy a lot of stress, I must say. So
yes.
you, like, winemaking is such a, it's chemistry on its own. It's really, it's difficult. People don't realize. I mean, it's not as easy as like just tasting a glass of wine. Then you say, "Ah, you know what? I don't like this." You know, so many hundreds of thousands of grapes died to make that juice. So many hours were put with the wine
yes.
maker to make that juice. Now you're just spitting it as if you're like drinking water from the skies.
Yeah,
you know. Or
add Coca-Cola or something like that.
Exactly, or add
yes.
Coca-Cola, whatever it is. I mean, it's really very unfair on the winemaker side for one to do that. Look. My policy is, if you buy my bottle of Morsi wines or Tongai wines, if you want to add Coke, you can do it because you already
yeah.
spent your money. So I can't tell you how to drink it.
Yes.
But please, I can actually advise, please don't add Coke or don't add any or ice blocks. Honestly, if the wine is cold, why would you want to spoil it?
Yes.
If you want to drink Coke, then add brandy.
Thank you very much, Joseph Tafana. He's one of four people who feature in a movie called Blind Ambition. Amazon Prime is where you can get it. And he's moved out from that work he was doing as a sommelier to start making wine himself. It's a fascinating industry, as you've probably gathered listening to the show over a while. I do enjoy talking about wine. 28 minutes past five.